Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinmurn. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Namaste, motherfuckers. I'm back.
He's back.
Ah, oh, Dennis.
The yin and yang of Dennis.
Yes, I am back. Back in the Bay Area.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How was it?
It was great.
You look relaxed. This long hair is kind of off.
I know. It's driving me crazy. I'm actually thinking about shaving it and becoming a monk today.
You got a ponytail in a week. I know. A more dramatic transformation. Yeah, than
you don't like the loose robe I got.
I was looking at it thinking, wait
cover yourself, Dennis. Yeah. Long hair. I was trying to figure out if you're wearing a long robe and the back is hanging over the back of the chair. Well, I mean, I don't even want to know what's going on in the chair.
Oh, trust me, it's a little itchy. It's a little itchy underneath.
Some butt cheeks on the pad there.
No, so what was it? You found your spirit animal?
Yeah, it was awesome. I saw lots of spirit animals.
What's your spirit animal?
A buffalo, I think. No, it was fun. We put in 2,500 miles.
Crazy.
Yeah, so it was good.
How many did Christina drive?
Zero.
Zero, nice.
She was like...
Zero?
She kept saying, wow, just let me drive. But then now it became a challenge at that point where I was like, look, I'm going to drive the whole fucking thing. See if I can do it. It was pretty brutal. The longest leg was 10 and a half back to Reno because I was trying to make the fight there. So I made it though. A little nice. Exhausted, but no, it was fun.
It was camping? It was sleeping in houses?
Sleeping in hotels and houses. We were packed for camping, but when we got there... 2 weeks before we left, we saw that the weather was going to be pretty nice in Yosemite. But then when we got there, they said it was going to get into the single digits.
You went to Yosemite?
Tetons, right below Yosemite Park.
Huh. The single digits? So it was like 8 degrees?
Wait, yeah. Yosemite, isn't Yosemite in California?
Sorry, Yellowstone.
Oh, I'm so confused. Yeah. You're like, no, the Tetons right below Yosemite in Wyoming. Sorry,
Yellowstone. I keep saying that.
All right, that makes more sense.
But yeah, we were going to try and do camping, but... It just got too cold and started snowing a little bit, so we're like, we don't need to rough it, so we just stayed at the house. But it was nice. Driving's such a meditative thing, just to drive and see all this beautiful scenery, and I don't know. I just love driving. It's super fun. The towns are pretty fun, though, when you're driving all through these tiny little towns.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, the contrast with Bay Area, how different Bay Area is than anywhere else that I've ever driven through.
Yeah, right.
It was like the funny thing is we went to a gas station and we go in there and I mean there's like,
where is this?
I think it was between Bend, Oregon and Boise when we were driving. You know, we go to a gas station and it's just like, you know, trucks and cowboy hats and mechanics and everybody's just all rough looking and stuff like that, you know. And yeah, I walk into.
At least you got out with your giant dog and strolled into the place.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I go into the gas station. I see guys with like hats and big like handlebar mustaches and stuff like that. And I'm walking in with my Apple Watch, beeping and booping on my phone and stuff like that. I felt like a total
foreigner here.
Yeah, it was like right. I felt like such a foreigner. Yeah. It was crazy just seeing the contrast with people and so.
Trust me, they looked at you and they knew you were where you were from.
Oh yeah, it was really funny. I was like, just put on my. My watch
was. But everyone was nice, or you're
everybody was super nice. Yeah, yeah, everybody was nice. You know, I mean, there was a couple weird instances that I ran into, one in Reno and one in actually both in Reno.
Yeah, that's just Reno.
What were those?
Christine, we went to an antique shop just to go look at some stuff, and then Christine was inside, and I was standing out with a dog, and there was a lot of homeless downtown Reno, and this was like at 9 in the morning, 10 in the morning. This guy walks up to me and I'm standing there just waiting for Christina, and then this guy comes up to me and goes, hey, do you know how they make knives? And then he started to explain how they make knives, and he's like a foot and a half from my face, and I was like, dude, is this dude's gonna stab me? Like I started getting all nervous, so I just kind of looked him in the eye and, you know, I was like, oh dude, I think this dude's gonna stab me. But then he just told me the story about how they make knives, how they fold over the metal, and then he took off. Super weird.
That is super weird.
Is that how they make them? They fold over metal?
They fold over pound. He was telling me how, I don't know, I was just looking at his hands. I was like, see what he's doing.
Finish your story, bro. Get out of my face.
Yeah, it was intense. I told Christine, I was like, dude, I thought I was going to have to fucking do something because this guy was just right.
So when he
face.
First said, do you know how they make knives? Did you say yes or no?
I go, well, I have to be honest. I said, no, I don't know how to make
knives. He's got to be honest to the weird guy talking to him about knives.
Yeah. So he should have been like, I know how they made the one in my pocket.
Yeah. You mean this one?
Step back.
12-inch blade.
But that was weird. And then Yeah, the casino was a little weird. It was a little somber. I wasn't going to even tell the story, but...
Reno Casino, somber?
Sorry, actually, I take that back. It wasn't the Reno Casino. Well, Reno was weird with the McGregor fight because I was in a McGregor bar, and that got super awkward when he lost. So
the bar was called McGregor?
No, a lot of McGregor fans.
Oh.
Like a lot of...
It got like awkward, like it was silent, or like there were a lot of angry people?
Angry. Oh, it was not... Yeah. Because it was funny.
Did you bet on that fight?
No, I didn't, because I knew Khabib was going to win, and I don't feel like putting a ton of money just to make it worth my while.
So you hid your Khabib shirt, is what you're saying.
Well, it was me and three other guys that were actually cheering. You know, I just started clapping and whatever when he started winning. And then after he won, I looked around, and everybody was just like pissed and... really drunk, and then I just kind of got up, packed my shit, and just left. And then and it got a little rowdy, so I just went to the hotel room after that.
What kind of shit do you have to pack when you're in a sports bar?
Oh, my jacket. That's about it.
I was thinking about this. Picture like his suitcase unfolded on the bar.
All my bobble.
Yeah, his Khabib bobbleheads. Right.
My t-shirts. My
grab our knives.
But it was good. It was cool. A good time.
Yeah, that was a crazy fight.
Yeah, I know. I listened to the podcast. It was pretty good. L.A. Laura.
L.A. Laura took over. Laura. Took your spot.
There he is.
So, what happened? I don't even know what happened recently here.
L.A. Laura's got an announcement. Well, he's leaving us.
Damn, on the spot?
L.A. Wait. He's
L.A.
leaving?
Laura is leaving us. So sad. And not for Southern California. We all predicted it would be for Southern California.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to get called up.
Who stole you away?
I will be leaving the full-time ranks of Faded Studios and Faded Brands for the full-time work over in San Francisco for a nonprofit in the Mission.
Yeah.
So my last official full-time day, and I look right at it, is last week of October. Yeah.
Now, this is an interesting topic because I think it was 2 weeks ago we talked on the podcast
2 weeks
when Julio was talking about in the past he left he stopped working with us and he left to go to a nonprofit.
Yes.
And he followed
that's what I thought. It's like deja vu.
It was odd. So I was like, I was expecting this, and he came over, he texted me one day and he's like, hey,
wait, did he text you that he was leaving or did
no
no, he posted on Instagram. No. He texted me and he's like, hey, can I talk to you tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
At the outside, but not in the office, like coffee shop or something. So I was like, all right. So then I'm like, tell my wife.
You gotta put me there.
What
was Julio wearing? Did he wear a suit?
Well, this was on by text, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When I wrote it.
So, right, he's wearing his probably just boxers and a fucking...
Pitching one off, and he's like, pitch. That reminds me. Let me text Nick.
Yeah, I got to drop something on you.
Speaking of drop something.
So he texted. He said, I need to talk to you tomorrow, but not in the office, outside the office. So I said, all right. And then I realized that
you
had to be at the house because someone was coming to the house to fix a light.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Well, you can come over to the house if you want. He's like, all right. So then I told my wife, I said, Julio's coming over in the morning. He wants to talk about something. She's like, what does he want to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. Probably wants fucking baby advice or something. I have no idea. She's all, why the fuck would he ask you for baby advice? I don't know. What else would he want to fucking talk to me about? So then he comes over. But then I could tell he was kind of like, but I could tell in his delivery it wasn't baby advice, right?
Yeah.
So then he says he's considering, he's been applying for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
He's been sneaking around behind our backs.
Yep.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Jim's like, oh, so all this working from home has been interviewing.
No, negative. No.
All the times he shows up in a tie, he's like, I thought I would dress it up a little bit in the office
today.
I thought I'd dress it up in the office a little bit.
Just came from a wedding.
Man, this is your third wedding this week.
And your second funeral. This is really weird, man.
So then he's like, all right, I got a baby on the way. It benefits this, that, and the other. I've interviewed. I got some good job opportunities. Blah blah blah. All right. So I'm thinking, well, I just heard the fucking podcast. So I'm like, what are you saying? Like, you know, what exactly are you saying? Are you saying like you can get paid some more somewhere else? Are there other things? Right. So we're talking. It's like, oh, you know, I'll paraphrase what I heard. My girlfriend wants more. You know, thinks I should have more stable job. And then the benefits package is better. We don't have benefits, so it can't be worse.
Yeah.
And then
it's a little bit better. Actual benefits.
Which is funny because there's not very many.
It is worse. You injected me. You give me donuts and coffee every week.
But a few, like a couple weeks ago, we're like, who needs benefits? Anyone? Because we, you know, there's four of us at Faded, yeah. and no one raised their hand. So I was like, all right, well, we don't need. Oh, actually, Jose was like, we needed benefits. So then we applied for group benefits, and they're like, you can't apply for group benefits if one person needs fucking benefits.
You mean insurance is not a box of Band-Aids in the back?
You have a first aid kit. That's good.
So then we said, okay. So I was like, I don't know. Are you asking for like for more money or met benefits? Like if we match those, is that what you're asking? Or is there something else? And so we just kind of left it as, it didn't seem like that was just it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, well, go figure out what you got to figure out. Because I was like, I don't want to, it doesn't make sense for me to spend time figuring things out if you're leaving anyway. Mm-hmm. And then that was that. And then from there, and then the next day he sends me a fucking text. So he says, I'll get back to you in the morning. So in the morning he sends me a text, which I read and I thought, because, you know, Julio's got apparently the gift of gab. Like, we're not getting straight to the point here. So it was like,
you do have that.
The gift of gab.
Something about, man, listening to the podcast was not the best thing. I really like working here. What was not the best thing when you're thinking about making a career change? I really like working here. And I guess it was the episode about him talking about leaving to go fucking work for a nonprofit of the past. So I read it and I said, all right, cool. So Julio's staying. And then I was like, well, hold on. This is Julio. So I wrote back and I said, please translate. So then he wrote back like fucking four paragraphs, which ended with, so I will be leaving. I was like, what the fuck?
I was on BART when I wrote that. I think I wrote like six iterations of it. And then I kept leaving the first letter.
That's the key part of the
because
whole.
Because it looks, no, because it keeps the dots on there.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, he's going to be looking at his phone like, what the fuck is he trying to say? What is he trying to say? Maybe like 30 minutes worth of like thinking of what to write.
Is no one else eating? Am I the only one eating donuts?
No, we ate some before you got here.
Oh, no. We're all eating donuts.
We
actually have a bad decision.
All right. So I think this is interesting in that we have a scenario where I think it'd just be interesting to hear like, so what the process of like looking, getting another job while you're working somewhere, right? That decision-making process. But I kind of, for fun, want to talk about like the, how does it work? Like, so what happened in the first place? What, how did you start thinking I should look for another job?
How did it start?
You can just say.
No, I'm gonna wait.
It's hilarious.
This is like a living nightmare right now. Being put on the spot like this, like, whoa, I don't know.
Yeah. By the way, we're emailing this episode to like a fucking new employer.
No, because it's fine. I mean, like, I had told my girlfriend that this was going to happen today. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to make sure I leave with the truth at all times just to make sure that when they do background checks or they go back to investigate what happened.
I will say that this process was easier, even our conversation, because of the podcast, because we're used to talking about shit.
Yeah,
it so was. When it comes over, it was kind of like, it was easier to just, it was weird, actually, just sitting there talking about it, because it was almost like we were talking about people, but it was almost like we're trained to talk about hypothetical situations, yeah. So it felt like we're talking about this hypothetical. So when was the first? How long ago was the first? When did this little new job baby get born? Like, how did you?
When we found out about the baby,
which is how long ago?
Which is she's gonna kill me. June.
What month is it? Wait.
June, July.
Oh, I was thinking it was. I don't know. I was thinking it was March. Right.
So
now.
4 months ago.
Yeah. Okay.
About four and a half.
So 4 months ago, you're like, she's like, I'm pregnant. You're like, I want a new job.
Negative. Negative. The conversation was skewed more around hypotheticals. What happens if I lose my job? What happens if I lose my benefits? What are you going to do? How are you going?
This is her job. Yes. What if she loses her job and her benefits?
How are you going to take care of us if something were to happen in an emergency situation? How much money do you have saved up? It was like really like I hadn't even thought of that. I was like, well, I've never been in a situation where I guess the closest thing is life changing is marriage, where you got to talk about all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys did. You just cracked.
Sorry, he just said marriage, and then he crushed whatever it was.
He crushed the little stopper.
Yeah,
marriage. What?
Jim's holding the plastic thing that you put on top of your
stopper on
cup,
the coffee,
and then he said marriage, and he literally just shattered it in his right hand.
Shut up! Shut up about it.
Thankfully, my wife doesn't listen to the podcast, so she'll never know just how effective I am. I was just thinking, like, yeah, did you? I was like, did I have?
I'm screaming, and people are here.
Did I have this? this conversation with my wife before we got married. Yeah, I guess we did. We did, actually. We talked a lot about, like, how it all
particulars
worked
out. That are kind of like, oh, damn, how would I do this?
But it was reversed for me. I was like, how are you going to take care of me? How much money do you have saved up? Like, I have a lot of wants and needs. And if we're going to make this work out, I need to see some paper.
All right, so we're... I'm bleeding everywhere. What the fuck Jesus. Is going on?
Like, you got a stigmata going?
My hands are just... what did I scrape the shit out of my hands on? I can't do the donuts. I've only been putting that hand in the donut jar.
Yeah. Mike was so hungry this morning, he took a bite of his own finger when eating the donut.
Fuck? I got blood all over my hands. All right, so
that's when the conversation starts about...
In general, right? Not job specific, but it's like, what are you going to do?
Yes.
What if I lose benefits? So the first alert is, I don't have benefits. What if she loses her benefits? And then what happens? Because this is... So how long from this point? What is the...
Almost immediately, because then it's like, well, the end of the conversation was part of the plan, just to sort of appease some of the stress, was, okay, I'll start looking for something else. Like, I'm going to have to move to Richmond. Burlingame is an hour and a half commute coming to, and then another hour and a half going back, regardless of whether you drive or whether you...
Mm-hmm. So what were the factors? Train. The factors at this point is the commute.
Yes. The time. Because it's 3 hours a day, and then it's like, well, you're 3 hours away from your kid and 3 hours away from, you know, your family.
But at this point, you talked about, hey, when I have the baby, I'm going to have to start working from home more often.
We had actually sort of brushed over that.
Yeah.
So I was confident that the original plan was to go through with the process and be honest about the process with her. And then when the time came...
The original plan was yes. to be honest, and then...
No. When the time came was to try to convince her to let me stay.
Yeah.
I felt that there was some negotiation that was going to be able to happen there between her and I, and then between Nick and myself.
But her thought at this point was just, it was distance, and then...
It was benefits, because at the time we hadn't even talked about it as a company.
But it's distance, benefits, and maybe pay.
Pay.
And then this is in June.
Yes.
And then, now, the step that seems to be missing is asking about benefits and pay. So that's why it's not about benefits and pay. Is why ultimately it wasn't just about that. And the distance. You can't... So you did ask about, can I work from home? I'm going to work from home sometimes. Actually, you didn't even ask. You just fucking told us. Hey, when I have the fucking baby, I'm working from home.
No. It was...
That's not true. If it's okay, I'd like to spend...
And I'm just giving you shit because I think it's interesting. I don't think there's that many times people get to hear a conversation like this.
No. It's fine. I don't mind talking about it. There was... How do I phrase this the right way?
I don't know.
Just ramble. I don't know. What happens.
No, I don't know.
No, not happening.
Dennis looks like he needs some popcorn.
It's like this coffee is making me nervous. It's like, confrontation. Not good at it.
Look, Nick. Dennis is like, I'm going to step outside for a little while.
Dennis is fucking Googling, can I do Julio's job?
Oh, my God. The answer is
what
yes.
What the fuck does Julio do?
Where was I?
We're talking about...
Sorry. Yeah, so there wasn't really... I was trying to be honest with that process, and at the same time try to plant... Because I knew the conversation couldn't happen until... That sort of conversation when it comes to changing logistics at work couldn't happen until I had built up enough clout in my estimate, like to the point where I can approach and be like, hey, this is what I need.
Yeah.
And this is what needs to change with my commute and benefits and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't until... We got word of some dramatics happening on her side of the fence with with her job that really got us accelerating the process faster because they were threatening to shut down her school. And so she would have lost her job, and we would have gotten to that doomsday scenario where no job, no benefits, we're mid-pregnancy, and what do we do?
Yeah.
And we were just you were
but you still might be in all of that minus the benefits.
What do you mean?
She still might not have a job, and she's
well actually
still
you know what they pregnant. Had a meeting yesterday. I should have texted her about it this morning, but I didn't.
What okay, so how long between shit I need to do something else for a variety of reasons and you start applying for jobs? So that you just start Googling, like, I don't even know how you look for a job. You go on, like, Indeed or something, or different jobs.
Well, I started kind of browsing to see what was out there. Again, almost immediately after the conversation with her back in a couple of months ago.
So what were you looking for? Like, what are you, based on what you do all day? What jobs were like? I'm trying to figure out. How did you decide? Like, what's an interesting job?
I was looking for my first. I started looking through jobs at universities. I figured that if I could work at a university and somehow work and try to get my master's, that would be a useful way of using my time. Yeah. So that's where I went. And education is an attractive field to me. So I was like, well, maybe there's something there. But it took too much time to apply to these jobs. So essentially all I would do is if I would go on Indeed, there's a button there that says apply with just your Indeed resume. So you just upload your resume, you hit a button.
What's the name of that? Indeed?
Indeed.
Indeed.com. Okay, just checking.
So essentially that's my application process was, and again, part of it, admittedly, was to try to sort of calm her down and be like, I am taking steps towards finding something else.
Yeah. Look, I got all these Indeed ones.
Look at all these applied for.
As president of Faded Brands, you got a lot of job offers.
I didn't put down president. You were looking at my LinkedIn the other day, by the way, too.
And oh, yeah, another weird thing of the whole thing. So I was like, my buddy Ken was like, you got to get your LinkedIn, got to do better on LinkedIn, whatever. It's useful for, as things grow, finding people. All right, fuck, I'll go in there. I don't remember why I went in there. So then I'm like adding friends. So I look at these two, and Jim's got on there like, I'm a experienced, you know, executive looking for my next challenge. I'm like, what the fuck?
I at least have Faded Brands down there.
So I'm like, what the fuck is going
open
on?
New opportunities.
And I'm like, well, he probably hasn't updated this in a while. I'm not going to fucking bug him about this. And then Julio's like, says he's leaving. So I'm all, Jim, you got fucking something to tell me too? Your LinkedIn says you're fucking looking for new opportunities. He's like,
no. The last time I updated my LinkedIn when I was looking for a job, like, you know, 3-4 years ago, right? Yeah. So
fucking Faded Empire was falling to pieces. All right. So you go in and you spam all these companies with your resume.
Can I just stop there for our listeners? If as someone who's done a lot of hiring, if you have an Indeed profile and you just press the send me your resume Indeed button, mm-hmm. I'm most likely not going to look at your resume.
How does it come to you? It comes to you differently.
It comes to me and it just says this person's applied for the job and this is their resume. And I'm like, okay, great. I mean, I might look at the resume depending on what I'm hiring for, depending on how.
What's the other way to do it on Indeed?
Well, you should have a cover letter.
You should have a cover letter attached to it.
A cover letter that says to me, hey, I'm Julio. Here's what I'm really good at. I saw your job posting, which is this. I can do this. And you should take a look at my resume. I ate the other half. It was good. I just think that like you get 100 of those, and that's just people who are like I always think people who just send their resume through Indeed are just most likely are on unemployment. They need to send so many resumes per day, and true. That's a good way just to send that report to the unemployment office, and they're like, hey, I applied for 8 jobs and no one called back. So I think if you're really looking for something, you should also just do a little quick cover letter that just says to me that you are indeed interested in the job in which you're applying for.
I get it.
Right?
Is Indeed the main place right now, people look probably. For jobs now?
Indeed is easily
what happened to like Monster?
Monster's
that was like
still out there.
30 years ago, I guess.
Monster's definitely still out there. They're very expensive. Indeed came in and just filled that, filled the niche of like a more rounded thing. If you're an employer, you can post to Indeed and it posts to a bunch of stuff. Mm. Post to all those places and then it kind of sort of becomes the one stop for all that. Like I think if you're looking for a job, you should go there first and then it makes it really easy to aggregate jobs and look at. They have a really good app also.
So, nice. Yeah. So you just hit the button.
So you spammed it off. So how many places did you send it to?
Oh shoot! If I had to estimate,
yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. It's like we're trying to figure out. Did he hook? Like when we're dating, did he hook up with one girl or was it like a fucking?
How many times did you swipe right?
Did she hook up with what? Whatever. If we were the girl, was it one girl or 1,000 girls?
How many times
girls?
Did you cheat on us? Yeah.
Are you got a fucking hole in the bathroom stall or are you fucking going to dinners?
I'm like, wait, let me catch up. How much of a whore were you?
How long has this been going on?
If there was ever a not safe for work label for this podcast, yes, it's please. Just right now.
Turn it on now. I'm going to say, I don't know, 80 to 100?
Right.
And then what happens? Like how many do you get a reply from?
I got a reply maybe from 10 different places.
And a reply is basically, hey, let's set up a phone call.
Let's set up a phone call.
Yeah.
And then of that, there were...
And then you're like, sweet, these guys think I'm working from home, so I'm available whenever.
No, stop. That was... honestly, that's the most nerve-wracking part about the whole process to me is just from, I want to say, like from a loyalty perspective, to be like... And I would explain this to my girlfriend all the time. I was like, I don't feel right doing this because they haven't done anything bad to me. I mean, I don't hate faded brands. Like,
well, you have to do it. You couldn't do it in reverse and come out and say, hey guys, I'm gonna be gone a little bit because I'm interviewing.
Yeah.
That would have been more.
That was always the most, I don't know what the word is, but it just felt really uncomfortable. And I would text her, I'm like, I don't feel right doing this. And she's like, well, you know, remember why you started this process. And I'm like, okay, but just to let you know, when it comes down to, you know, if I'm offered a job, we have to compare apples to apples when it comes to this stuff. So I'm doing this because I want to fulfill my promise that I'm going to go about this process. But at the same time, you have to kind of meet me halfway too and be like, okay, we're going to discuss about both options if the time were to come.
So yeah, we should never have done the fucking hickey episode.
Oh, Jesus.
Were you...
by the way, they moved... I don't know if I should be telling you guys this, but our initial delivery date was March the 7th. Then they moved it to the 2nd. And then I told her the other day, I was like, if it's the 2nd, then it's much, much closer to the hickey than we actually give credit for. So the episode will stand as like a timestamp of our kid can listen to it somewhere in the future, be like, oh, that's what happened. Yeah. I'm sure he or she will be thrilled. Pop.
Oh, pop.
All right, so you're interviewing, and then when did it, I don't even know what time this is, July probably. When did you start? So you got down to like the final two that you were interested in. How many interviews did you have?
That they were interested in me.
Well, let's just say, let's flip it for your benefit, okay, that you're interested in them.
Oh, thank you.
Because this doesn't sound exciting the other way.
I mean, they were able to like just come and talk to me.
I was just here.
Smell.
How much time?
How many places did you go? So you interviewed with about 10 of them.
Yes.
A variety of jobs, or all kind of in the communications?
No, they're in the communications marketing realm. You have to, and when you go through the descriptions, there's the digital marketing part of the job, which is not something that I have a lot of experience with. So I had to kind of avoid those jobs or those listings, because if I went to work there or if I went to interview there, I would be lying. I'd be like, no. Oh. So I lean more towards the communication side, because there's a lot more of communication that happens within the job here and then within the jobs that I've done in the past with journalism and that's why I went and looked more at the nonprofit side too, because I have experience from the nonprofit side, although it wasn't the most favorable for me, but at the same time it was something that I could speak honestly about and intelligently about if I were to be interviewed, as opposed to like, oh yeah, I have, you know, I've all done all these marketing campaigns and I've spent, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars on ad buys and all that stuff, which would have been completely untrue, and then it would have just made me look bad if I were to get the job. And then they're like, well, we're expecting this massive improvement on the marketing side from us, you know, hey, you haven't delivered. And then I'd be utterly fucked, because then now I've left here and I've gone to work somewhere else where, you know, I've lied, and then they're firing me within a month or two. And then I got to come back and tell Nick, I want my job back, please.
That was Dennis would have faked it till he made it.
all the way. I was like, yeah, I know what that means.
Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of dollars on marketing?
No.
God, I work for big companies.
Have you seen the suit?
I didn't realize the ad buy would be so small.
Okay, so when did you start to think... when we were sitting in the office, uh-huh, you said, hey, you guys need fucking benefits, or are you guys... Good. What was going through your head during that conversation where you didn't raise your hand? You just said, oh, you know, no, my girl's got them.
Well, the way that I remember that conversation...
Because that must have been in, like, September, August? What month is it? October?
We're in October.
It was a couple months ago, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't remember...
Mm-hmm. It was August.
We had talked... You said... you asked me if I was going to need benefits.
Yeah.
Because of the baby. And then I don't remember the response that I gave... No, listen.
Hell no.
But I think my response was more like, I think the response was more geared towards, I'm good in that my girlfriend could take care of that part because she's, you know, she has her benefits package from school.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a door, an open door to talk more about whether I could get benefits through at when the time was right. Yeah. So I wasn't rushing towards like, oh yes, yeah, let me. When we talked about 401k with the company, that one was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that shit. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then we signed up for that almost immediately. Yeah. But again, there was no like imminent threat to the point where I felt like, yes, I need to jump on this. As much as I was like, the time is going to come when, if and when I'm offered something, I'm going to have a conversation that with my girlfriend first to be like, look, they're offering me this job, but I still want to work over at Faded for XYZ reason. And then, you know, that was our negotiation between her and I. And then I would have even have to mention the fact that I was looking for other, at other places. But yeah. With the things that happened with her work, it was like, okay, now I have to have these difficult conversations because they, they're not fun to have at all. They're just, they're necessary for the situation more than anything else. The night, I think when we were at a protest for her school on Wednesday, and I met with him on Thursday, and then on Wednesday I'd written like this really long email. It was like a good page and a half, maybe even more, and I was like, he's not gonna get through, you know, half of this. He's gonna get to the bottom of it and be like, so what do you want again?
Up to the end, I'm like, hey, this fucking email just said sincerely.
I see you signed your name. Must be kind of important.
Who's this from again?
I had it, and then I was like, I guess it was more for me, like to like get my thoughts straight in terms of what I wanted to say. But then I was like, no, I'm gonna text him and see if I can meet with him because it was gonna be a much more productive situation for me to be able to talk to him, as difficult as it was, as opposed to sending out an email and just kind of just sitting by my computer all night and be like, all right, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? What's he going to say? You know, what's he going to say? And eventually we're going to have to talk about it anyway, so we might as well just talk about it and have a difficult conversation about it.
What, okay, so when did you get to the point where you're like, all right, I got a job offer. I'm excited about this. This is what I want to do.
When?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I got an offer.
Because when you said they offered you like a week before.
Yes, so I had gotten an offer from a law firm in that Friday, the Friday before. And I had asked for more time.
What do you tell them? What do you tell a job employer when you ask for more time? Like, hey, I'm juggling. I'm looking at multiple opportunities.
So even within the interview process, I planted that seed. I was like, just to let you know, it wasn't necessarily like a competitive thing as much as like
playing hard to get.
You know, no. Oh, God, no. It was full disclosure. I mean,
no. No.
Low crop top.
Stop it.
They busted me in the Niner jersey, so I had to give back the $4 million. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be looking for a fucking job.
No, it was. Plant the seed early, and then when they offer you the job, just be super grateful about it, and then say, well, I'm, as you know, I'm exploring other opportunities, so I need a little more time. And I had also asked them for some extra information about the company. For that particular situation on Friday, I asked to see their website. I was like, I want to look into the back end of your website, because a lot of the work was going to be based off the website. So I was like, I want to make sure that what I've told you that I can do, I can actually do. And then either accept or decline the offer. And I was trying to buy some more time for just to have all the options in front of me, because I knew that the other place, I had just done a second interview with the executive director of that company. And I was like, well, I've made the mistake before where in rushing to accept something because I feel like it's going to be off the table, I haven't really thought through the entire process the way that I would want to. So I was like, I need more time. And so they came back with something on that Monday. And it's like, now it's like, and then we had the protest on Wednesday where we were going to find out whether the school was going to get shut down. And she was, my girlfriend was like, hey, this could happen. We're being told at work that I should start looking for other jobs and we can have, you know, we can be out of a job by November. And I'm like, holy shit, that's right around the corner. So it was, the timing of it played out to the point where I had those two offers on the table, and then trying to negotiate in my own head how far I felt that Nick was willing to come in terms of matching it or what was fair to ask for. And so that was a fun sort of exercise to do in my own mind, just because you deal with hypotheticals too, and you also got to be like,
but then what happened? Then in your mind you decided, I'm either not going to ask for it or he's not going to do it, because you never asked for it. When you threw it out there and I said, hey, I can see like what I could do, but I don't want to think about it if there's another reason, and it's not apples to apples, right? Like, that's why I threw it back to you. I'm like, if you want me to see what we can do on pay and benefits, I can do that, but you know, what's the point if there's another, you know, if ultimately your girlfriend is going to create friction or whatever, there's no point.
Yeah, no, and when I had a conversation with her about that afterwards on Thursday, she was like, I'll support you either way, just so that, because then by Wednesday night we had figured out that there was that whole 50-50 chance the school gets shut down, doesn't get shut down, went from 50-50 to more like 90-10. There was still a chance, but it was like, but now I have two offers. They're waiting for me to answer. They're like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I should consider those based on what they've offered me and what I have currently, and then sort of look into the future as to what's going to be better for the family, and sort of how am I gambling too much with not knowing, and sort of what I'm leaving on the table for, mostly for the kid, then being like, oh, okay, well, cool. So I'm staying, right? So like, I don't have to worry about that stuff
anymore. What we should have done is not said you were fucking leaving in the beginning. We should have just built up the suspense.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, can we edit this? You know,
I mean, Jim looks actually kind of bored by this story. I mean, he's fucking leading.
You told me told me the end of this.
Okay. So
spoilers.
So without banging this to death, I think this might be interesting for someone. Is it interesting for you, Dennis?
Yeah, super interesting. By the way, I have to talk to you after this.
Hey. Send me an email.
Can I come by your house later?
I'm moving to Boise.
See if Jim's changed his fucking LinkedIn page yet.
Totally haven't. It's still the same way.
Okay, so you said at one point, I said, what is your girlfriend not like, or what does she think about? He goes, well, she's just worried that you might just decide, fuck it, I'll shut everything down and fire everyone one day. Right. So I was trying to figure out I guess it's interesting for people like this. Where's the lack of security on startups, or how did that factor into it?
Well,
versus a big company who could still do layoffs or downsize.
True. Mm-hmm. I think part of that was probably due to how I've, the times that I've talked to her about the dragons and been like, well, you know, so in her mind, all she knows is I've worked with you before, and there was a necessity to end that particular project and then, you know, go look for something else.
Yeah.
So I guess the first thing that she jumps in her mind is, well, that scenario can repeat itself, can it not? And I go, well, it's not going to. But as many times as you try to say it's not going to, she's like, well, it's happened before, right? So I go, yeah, but it's not going to happen. And then he's like, well, what assurances do you have of that? And I go, well, you know, does it say somewhere in your contract, blah, blah, blah. And she's used to more traditional jobs, right? So there's something.
What happens in a traditional company? Because I haven't worked. So like, say, for example, you go to the nonprofit. You want to
know more about this? Yeah.
You go to the nonprofit. I'm assuming you're an at-will employee, right? So then, after 6 months, they say, we didn't get our funding, or we're going to do this. But then, so I was thinking from her perspective, or your perspective, and then I was like, well, I guess the difference is you could say you worked at a company where there's more companies like it. So you could transfer from one nonprofit to another. They usually have levels, so you could transfer to a similar or advanced level, right? Whereas here, because to me, I simplified it as like, okay, I could see, like, people want to. Because sometimes you get it. I get it. Like, you know, different kinds of people. Like, I want a title. I want to know. Like, so if I leave here, I want to be able to say that I have relevant experience at a certain level. If you just want me to be, you know, because I'd rather just not have titles. But if you don't want me to have a title, then how is that going to transfer when I go looking for something else, right? I mean, they might always look down at me as like, oh, you've never had a director level, or you've never been a VP or whatever the fuck it is. And I always said, just write whatever the fuck you want on your resume. And I'll say, okay, yeah.
That was
like, because what is it? You know, because because like,
that's why my title is Grand Poopa. I always think that was, I think that translates really well in the in the business world.
Anyways, so I don't even know where we're going with this, but I was thought it was just an interesting topic. A, because we can talk about it.
Yeah.
And B,
oh, it's not a fun. I'll tell you, it's not a fun process. It's not a fun decision. Because you end up even now phrasing it to the point where you don't want to make there to be out a villain in any situation. There's just really difficult conversations that you need to have.
Yeah.
In a relatively new relationship that I have.
Yeah, there's no villain. I wasn't blaming her or anyone else.
Go to the baby shower, please. You know, when it happens.
Is it like, you know what made me think about it? It made me think about like stability and jobs.
Like going if there's bottle races.
I think this would be a good topic, and maybe we explore it a little bit more. But like, yeah, what is stability in a job, and you know what jobs or what industries do we think have stability? Because I started thinking when you and I were talking about it, and then we had been talking about it, I thought I don't know any job that is 100% stable all the time. Yeah. I mean, I've met people from all over the world in many industries who thought they were great, had been there 10, 20 years, and they lost their job, and they had to go find something else.
Oh, it's so very similar to my girlfriend's situation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
she
starts a new job. She's the dean of education of a charter school, and then, you know, when she takes it, she's very excited about it, and first couple of months in, she's like, this is great. This is what I was, you know, born to do. I feel really excited, and then from one second to another, it's like, you know, now you go from having a stable job that you love to, okay, we're going to pull the rug from under you. You're not in control here. It's kind of like, I mean, not to like point fingers. Again, making anyone the villain out here is not really the purpose of it, but I made fun of her. I was like, oh, okay, so who has a stable job now?
What a brave man. What a brave, brave man.
He's also been negotiating who gets up in the middle of the night to feed the baby.
Yes, so we were at 50-50. And that's where I started my negotiation, and now I'm 80-20. So
you have to get up 80% of the time?
82% of the time.
You're doing pretty well in these discussions.
I think you might need to hire a negotiator.
It's actually funny. This funny thing happened like probably, I think, a year ago. Maybe probably a little over a year ago.
When you woke up in the teepee?
Yes, actually, when I woke up in the
different funny time.
because I've been doing, I haven't really worked for anybody for 10 years or whatever, doing my own thing. I thought it'd be kind of crazy because I was like looking at jobs. I was like, here's what's out there. But then when I saw a Netflix job and a Google job, and I knew some people from Google, and I was like, you know, maybe I should apply just to see what the process is like.
Yeah.
So, you know, I go in there, and then when it came to like filling out my title, I don't really, it's kind of weird when you're like on your own. Like, what, you know, you put owner, like, what am I applying? I don't know. It's kind of a weird conundrum when you're like,
yeah,
your own little business, and then you're trying to apply just to see. But you know, surprisingly, they never got back to me. They said it wasn't accepted.
I always thought, like, back when I was applying for jobs, I always thought it was like, I always get excited and enjoyed it because it's almost, I guess I've always had this thing where it's like, I want to be associated with something, right? Yeah. So we were talking the other day, I'm wearing my fucking Browns hat today. And I was like, fuck, you know, does that mean I'm off the Jagwagon? Can I be on both wagons?
Yeah.
And then Jim's like, I don't think anyone fucking cares if you're wearing a fucking Browns hat or a Jaguars hat. Just deal with it. Yeah. I was like, huh, all right, well, like to think that, you know, my choice of hat is super important. Yeah. But back then I would like, when I had the same way, it's kind of like, I guess I've always wanted to align with like a team, right? Or like something in jobs that always, or I'd be like, oh, you just kind of like feel like, oh, I'm going to, you know, whatever the personality of the company was, you're kind of like, I'm going to almost take on that personality.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what the point of the story was, but it was weird. I remember it was exciting in a way, like you'd see these different like environments and you go into these offices and you'd imagine yourself like slotting into these different things. And, you know, I think everything's a step, like everything happens because it's supposed to happen. So every like when I got a job at the Padres, right? I thought I'm going to work in sports forever. And then I got a job at AutoWeb, and I thought, wow, what the fuck is this internet? This is crazy. You know, I'm gonna work my way up through the internet shit, whatever that. You know, and then
whatever this internet,
thing is,
the World Wide Web.
I mean, I a lot of problems. At the time, I probably could not have fucking explained how it worked or anything. Yeah. I was like, I don't know how the fuck it works. It just is what it is.
It's a series of tubes.
Yeah, you know, and then it led me to thinking, oh, I don't want to work here. I want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's interesting. I think it's like it's where you literally go all day in these environments, right?
Yeah.
It's like you enter this world and you're like in this world and you just learn shit from it, or some you like, some you don't like. But it was kind of the same thing. I thought to myself, my first reaction was like, the fuck is Julio doing? You know, like, the fuck, he's lost his mind.
Yeah.
And then the second part was like, all right, so is there stability? You know, like, what, you know, how could there be more stability? I do know over time people get frustrated with, I think it's appealing and frustrating, the zigzagging all over the place, mm-hmm. up on a project, down on a project, get someone excited about a project, or someone gets excited about a project, then don't do the project, then it's, I think it's also exciting, the variety of projects.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started thinking, okay, but, you know, as we grow and as we build, like, what are the things that we need to work on? Because in a way, like, I guess it's a lot of it is on me in a way, right? Where it's not like a startup where it's like, hey, we just raised X million dollars, and someone goes, all right, listen, this fucking company just raised this much money and our burn rate is X, so they should have enough money for here. Yes, they're going to have to raise another round, but they got the, you know, hot investors, so they're going to get the next round or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's more just, yeah, we can afford to keep doing shit as long as we either are profitable or he just wants to keep fucking putting money in. And so the hard part for me was my knee-jerk reaction when he was like, well, there's, you know, I was I've been on the podcast, like, poking and asking questions, and he's like, well, you know, what if, like, you just decided one day, I don't want to do this anymore, I want to move to fucking, you know,
Puerto Vallarta,
Idaho, to hang out with Dennis. And then
TP living,
you know. And I was like, but in my brain I'm like, why the fuck would I, you know, how could I stop doing this? You know, it was like more like, if you said, hey, I want to come work in sports. And so that was what the Dragons was in the beginning, right? And then it's like, and you had in your head, like, I want to work in sports. Yeah, there's a good fucking, I mean, who, it's kind of weird to go to a company and that's primarily focused on sports. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of, like, is primarily focused on gyms. Then it's kind of primarily focused on fucking restaurants or whatever. That might be weird if your interest was specific to a category.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To me, it just seems all the same. Like, just, oh, look, it's all just, logos and ideas. It's kind of how I see it, is like they just all fit together on a wall. I doesn't really think about the fact that's three different industries. So I could see it, but it was an interesting, I don't know how it translates listening to this, you know. It might just be self-serving to us because we are us, so it's interesting to us. But I thought it was interesting was from a employee perspective, right? Because it's like, hey, well, no one's going to get offended. No one's mad, right? Yeah. Like, it's just interesting to kind of hear an employee, like, how their thought process and how they're, you know, I don't even know what the word is, of being somewhere. And then it's also, as an employer, it's interesting to hear more like, wait, what? Like, what, you know?
Yeah.
That's, you know, oh, that's an interesting thought. But then it's hard because sometimes you hang on, like, someone, you know, you're basically trying to explain something that's not quite explainable. And so then you throw out examples. You know, it's kind of like when, like, my mom would ask me shit like, hey, how's blah, 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 you know, so from high school, right? And I'd be like, I haven't seen him in fucking 20, 30, I don't know. Oh, okay, how's blah, blah, blah? I don't know. Why haven't you seen, it's just these questions where you just don't know the answer, right? And you can't figure out why it's kind of like causing you like anxiety to answer these questions, you know? But it's almost like, it doesn't make sense, you know? Kind of like there's those certain questions where it's like, what do you like? How could you keep asking me the same thing about this thing?
Yeah,
it doesn't happen anymore. I just remember at one point, my mom kept asking me about the same couple people, and it's because her. She's like, I don't, you know, when you go to college and after college, I don't, you know, in high school, I knew your friends. I knew them. They came over every day. I knew them all the time. And so, really, what the way to look at that question wasn't like, why are you asking me about people from so long ago? It was more, oh, I haven't shared enough with you about the now, like, right? Like, that's kind of fucked up. Like, my mom's the question she has to ask me is about people that maybe I haven't spent a lot of time with in the last 10-20 years. All of a sudden I looked at it differently, you know. It wasn't like her being stuck in the past, it was like her not sharing the present, you know. So it was I don't even know where the fuck that topic came from.
All I can think about is you should be really
call your mother.
Yeah, call you. Get well, your
no,
mom.
Well, no, call your mother, Nick. No, but they talk to other people and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, my parents will be like, oh, you know," and it's probably a normal thing. You know, ask like, you know, it'll be the same thing with Luke. Right? I'll ask him something about like a kid, but it changes so fast now. Oh, I haven't talked to him in like a month, but he'll say forever because a month seems like forever. Whatever.
Yeah.
I was just trying to be honest because I knew that. If I even amidst those like difficult conversations and the difficult questions that I needed to ask, I knew that I was going to get asked them again, not by you, but by people that I was that were holding me accountable to the process. So I needed to know, even if I felt like I knew the answer, even if I had to ask you, like, okay, well, what happens, you know, a year from now when you decide we're going to shut down Faded Brands, and you could be like, well, it's not going to happen. This is it. That's exactly what I've said before. But hearing it from you is different in that I could be like, well, he told me it's not going to happen. So I can actually answer that honestly to whoever it is that's holding me accountable to it.
Yeah.
And it's also, to me, it was going to serve as that sort of, that same honesty was going to serve as, I guess the word is ammunition, when comparing the other jobs and trying to convince that person, like, you know, I have these assurances now. I feel comfortable being there. So hopefully how I feel about it is enough convincing to you to let me to not let me, but understand why I'm deciding to stay or why I'm deciding to leave or X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
So I think there are advantages to asking difficult questions and being vulnerable with the process too. I mean, it's not fun. I don't particularly enjoy having to like pack up all my stuff and, you know, go, but,
we'll pack it up for you.
No, yeah,
we've already. It's actually outside right now.
We built the box.
Yeah, you don't have any more shit here.
It's all, yeah, it's all taken care of.
I'll just show up. Like, well, give me all your stuff. No, I mean, like, not just from a work perspective, but just from a life perspective. I've lived in Burlingame for, you know, 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah.
I've worked in on the peninsula, you know, for that long, for 10 years.
Wait, so couldn't you argue if she loses her job that she should move to Burlingame instead of you moving there? Yeah.
No, we don't want that.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah, that's
might be a better plan.
Do you want Dennis to write an email?
Trust me, it'd be very short.
I think what we learned is
it's in bullet points. Yeah. Only talking bullet points.
Julio has gotten maybe there's no business lessons in this episode, but Julio has gotten a crash course in being parents and. And basically being fucking married with the
you guys are great.
Like you don't get to just have your opinion. You know, you have to. You can no longer just be like, it's here's what I think or what I want. You have to take into
account. That was part of the process too for me was not being selfish. I kind of felt like, especially that the night before we talked, I was kind of like, well, and Friday morning it was like, well, how selfish am I being by choosing to stay? How much of it is me just enjoying where I work and the people that I work with, and how tangible is that going to be for the kid as he's growing up, and whether that's going to be worth, you know, the money that you leave on the table or the benefits that you leave, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just really, it's difficult to have those internal like debates on BART while you're trying to come up with an answer and actually be timely with it and be as honest as you can be at that particular moment, because you need to make a decision.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I said to Nick, I said, this is the first of many of your, you know, decisions you're going to have to make now that you're in this relationship and now that you've got a family unit, right? Like these are the hard questions.
Yeah.
Like the first of probably many, many, unfortunately.
And shit can change. I mean, we have another company that, you know, there's, whether it's investor or maybe someone buying the company, where it's, you know, you could be working a startup one day and then all of a sudden who owns it could change hands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you can guarantee, hey, a startup, you're always in startup, you know, you'll always have the same, you'll always report to the same people, you'll always have the same, you know, ownership. Like it'll,
yeah,
everything can change. So I guess, you know, maybe that'll be an interesting future episode. Let's see how that all pans out, but you know, that'll be an interesting, a similar thing is like, well, so in, you know, there's an argument that you could say then, okay, well, if a startup has instability, then a startup becoming part of a bigger company should be appealing because there should be more opportunity and more stability.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think there'll be there'll be some people who find that, oh yeah, this is exciting, we're gonna get more stability, more opportunity, and there'll be some people that'll be like, no, this sucks, like now we've lost our startup-ness.
Yeah.
Is that
that's
a word?
No, no, you just made it up. That's good.
I like that one. Instagram, right? Yeah. Instagram gets bought by Facebook, and the whole, I mean, half the staff walks, and in the last, what, couple of months, the owners finally, the guys who started, they left, and they were like, the reason we left is because it was horrible. Facebook was like taking us in a different direction. So, yeah, I think it's, but I mean, there's been as many of those stories as there have been, like, it was great. We got bought up, and it turned it all around for us. So,
all right, last question. On your resume, did you put that Faded was a nonprofit?
No, no.
That would have been a lot. Well, Dragons was a nonprofit, wasn't it?
Dragons were not.
They had a lot of fucking nonprofits. That was
no, part of it also, and I told him this too, I listened to some episodes of the podcast on Thursday just to kind of go through my own mental process. And then the thing that stuck was we were talking about decision making. And when you have two favorable outcomes, there really is no bad choice. It's just, it's still difficult to choose, though. And I don't know if we touched on that during the episode, because you're you know, which is better? You don't know, because you don't know the outcome and whether what outcome is going to be better for you.
Yeah.
But you are in a position, and I felt really blessed after our conversation and grateful, because I knew I was in a situation where no matter what I chose, it was still going to be difficult to choose, but I was going to be in a good spot. Because there were some things that were, there were things that were more important than the job.
Yeah,
you know, they're just relationships that you build and friendships that you build that are more important than a paycheck, or, and those things are still valuable to me.
And yeah, I asked if we're still going on the fucking baby moon.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, right? Technically,
no, but he jokes about it, but that sort of question was good to have and reassuring, because they go, okay, so he doesn't hate me because I'm leaving Faded, or, and I go, okay, cool, yeah, so we can still come. And I think I answered with like, well, if you still want to hang out with me, absolutely, we should still go. So those things are like little signs, and you know, from the universe or God, whoever you believe in, that, you know, you universe. Are going, yeah, there you go.
Dennis.
Really, you're Dennis. Yeah. Little signs from Dennis that you're going down the right path.
Yeah. I think what it all proves is, like, everyone's trying to put labels. I guess this is what I was trying to say earlier. I don't know what the fuck the part about my mom asking me questions was about. But anyways,
that was helpful on a different level.
Yeah,
that's annoying.
Got to call.
But I do need to call more and tell them more things, because that makes sense now. The you know, because a lot of people get caught up in like, oh, they're defined by their job or their work or the team they fucking support, or, you know, who they're dating or what kind of music they listen to. Mm-hmm. And really, you're just a sum of all that shit. You know, so that's kind of a reminder of like, hey, the older you get, there's multiple reasons to make decisions. You are multiple things.
Yeah,
you're not your fucking title. When you go home, your title doesn't matter, right? Or to your kid or your wife or your girlfriend, whatever. And then when you're at work, whether you're an employee or an employer, they're not just people with titles, right? So you can't sit here and think like, make this fucking decision or do this because that's what this person with a title should do. Everyone is a person that has a whole bunch of shit going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same basic philosophy of like, when you walk down the street or you're driving, someone fucking pisses you off, like, you want to just flip them off or yell at them, but it's like, who knows what the fuck they got going on that day?
Yeah. Who knows what gun they have?
You know? Yeah.
You never know. What knife they have? Yeah. When they ask you about your knife?
Do you know how to make a gun?
Do you know how to make a
what?
In a fold of pieces of metal.
Do you know how to get strangled by a fucking...
Do you know what it's like to be strangled? It's like,
no! Have you ever
I don't!
Have you ever been robbed?
You ever had someone stand on your toe really hard? What the fuck? Anyways, all right. I think it was a good episode. Glad we could talk about it.
Yeah.
Hopefully those of you that, you know, aren't as interested in our personal lives still find this interesting.
Well, I will say, you know what? In defense of the podcast episode, in trying to make a decision... There really are no resources out there for people in my situation, I think, because I've searched. I've been like, well, what do I do? Trying to get a little guidance.
I give guidance.
What happens, what happens if you type, what do I do on Google? Do it right now.
What do I do?
Right, well, there you go.
$125 an hour.
So in defense of this episode, I think it will be useful for people. Just, you know, there are things that you can extract from it that will help and kind of put you in a better mental space to go talk to your boss and go talk to and confront the situation and the people that you are accountable to, because there really isn't anything else out there, to be super honest. And I've tried every resource that I can find to try to make the best decision possible for myself, for my family.
Yeah, if you're working somewhere and you got circumstances that make it where you're not sure if you can stay, just fucking talk. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Talk to your boss, talk to your coworkers, do whatever.
he could have thrown me out of his house.
And if you're an employer,
at least at the coffee shop, I would have been there by myself. But you know, like, get the fuck out. Oh.
If you're an employer, create an environment where people can come talk to you. And also, this will be the second time, Julio's left. Second or third time. There was that really short stay, right? That one time.
Yes. So this is
the third time that we've parted ways. And so, you know, you always leave the door open for people to come back because, like, you know,
you're like the consistent girlfriend that does all the nice cooking, and then he just goes for the hot
just
one.
Just get fucking cheated on. Yeah.
Just goes, oh, I met this girl at the club.
Shit. Wait, you cheated on me? It's okay. Come back.
That's all right.
You cheated on
arms,
me again?
Open arms.
Okay. Was it for stability or something? I mean, I was fucking committed.
You have a great home cooking.
Oh, they bought you a new Gucci shirt. Great.
Gucci.
Great.
Oh my god.
It all makes
Gucci snake.
Sense.
Gucci yeah. snake.
You know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe he wants a fucking job with more formal attire.
I know.
Where you got to wear those gears.
We can put a dress.
Wait, are you going to have to
wear more?
What are
you going
to wear? No. I met the executive director. He was in jeans and a t-shirt that they had created.
It's a non-profit,
so I was like, no.
It's a little loosey-goosey.
He was like, you know.
Well, it's funny because as soon as you're out, we're both gonna be wearing ties.
That'd be
Nick and I have been talking about it, but we're like, you know, Julio. I don't think Julio is gonna want to wear a tie. So
I think you should get in old English, not for profit, across your shoulders, like Dennis has Rodriguez.
Yeah.
In old English.
Yeah. Old English. Yeah.
That's such a terrible typeface, guys.
That'd be sweet for not for profit.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Well. Wow. I guess good luck to Julio, unless it changes next week.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Anyone?
Well, you told me I can still come on the podcast. And then he also said, "Oh yeah, that was part of the."
We'll check in. We'll check in sometimes. We'll be like, "Hey, come on and tell us what it's like in the real world."
Jesus,
no, that's true. Call in from afar.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell my job. I'm like, guys, I can't come in because I need to go record some episodes. Sorry.
All right, I got to get my teeth cleaned. So I guess if you like what you hear, at the Startup Addict, startup_addict, YouTube. There's another one that YouTube you have to search us. What's that other one that you mentioned last time?
Well, Indeed.com if you're...
Oh, Indeed. Go to Indeed.com.
If you're in a Julio state of mind. This episode was actually sponsored by Indeed.com. Yeah. And it was a big commercial for the nonprofit that Julio's joining.
Castbox.fm is the other spot.
Castbox.fm.
And other places where you find your podcast as well.
All right. Well...
How long was that?
An hour and 2 minutes.
Wow.
Jesus.
So...
All right, thanks for listening.
Yep. I guess hopefully we're all still here when
we get back.
All right.